You're listening to Central Time. I'm Gene Purcell.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Online dating is now a fairly mainstream practice. One statistic estimates that 1 in 3 new marriages started with an online dating profile.
But there's something different happening in the online dating world. Now sites are popping up that cater to a certain demographic, such as gluten-free singles, farmers only, or even Atlasphere. That's a dating site, by the way, for Ayn Rand fans.
We want to hear from you on this. Have you ever participated in online dating? Have you ever signed up for really specific sites, or would you? What has your online dating experience been like? Did you meet a soulmate there? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also send an email, talk@WPR.org.
This half hour, we're talking to Catalina Toma. She is an assistant professor in communication arts at UW-Madison and an expert in online dating. Catalina, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
I want to talk about this whole notion of online dating. You know, since the dawn of the internet, it's been out there. How quickly has it been growing, say, over the past 5 years, 10 years?
It's been growing tremendously quickly. Online dating started to gain traction in the early 2000s, and at the time, it was fairly stigmatized. It was viewed as some sort of a crutch for the desperate, for the people who perhaps couldn't find dates on their own in their offline lives. But increasingly, it's got it's become more prominent. It's got a big following, and in recent years, it really has exploded. A recent survey that's come out a couple of weeks ago shows that about 1 in 10 Americans have done online dating at some point, which is incredibly impressive.
And a crutch for the desperate, that must have sort of fallen by the wayside, because at some point this must be successful. It must work at some level.
It does. Some really impressive statistics and studies are showing us not just that online dating has become tremendously popular, but also that it's very successful. So recent studies show that about 1 in 3 marriages or 1 in 4 marriages happening in the United States in the past 6 or 7 years have originated from online dating. And one recent study has actually tracked these couples who have met online and assessed their satisfaction with their partners and also their likelihood to get divorced. And this study has found that the likelihood of getting divorced is slightly decreased if the meeting, the initial meeting between the partners takes place online rather than offline. And also that those who had met online report slightly more satisfaction with their partners, suggesting again that online dating has become a useful venue for meeting appropriate long-term relational partners.
And that's part of what we're talking about today, because we're talking about that sort of niche idea that you can meet somebody who is really, you know, really just focused in on your specific interests and so forth. But isn't that what general websites are designed to do anyway? If you sign up for a match.com, you answer all these questions: what I like, what I don't like, what I like to do, and so on. What differentiates these niche sites from the general ones?
There's two types of general or mainstream online dating sites out there. One is what we call self-matching sites. So those would be Match.com and OkCupid to a certain extent, where you fill in your own profile and then you're at liberty to browse through other people's profiles and decide who you want to contact. And then there's another type of site, the eHarmony model, and to a certain extent, OkCupid too, I suppose that would be more of a mixed site, where they have you fill out personality questionnaires and questionnaires about your values and beliefs, and then the site itself matches you with potential partners. So among those, popularity is really, really high. There's lots of users out there, and the potential bank of romantic partners that you have to go through could be high. So one may imagine that an online dater might feel overwhelmed with this really large selection of potential dates, depending also on the location where they are. If you're in an urban on an urban site, you would have access to hundreds, thousands, perhaps, of potential mates that you could choose from. And there's lots of information available about them that you could use in your decision-making processes. Now, this amount of information could conceivably be overwhelming and not helpful to people who have very niched or specific kind of requirements. And I suppose that's one of the reasons why more niched online dating sites have gained prominence. It narrows down the field of potential mate by that one characteristic that's really important to you.
And so if you have that important characteristic, whether it's you're a farmer or whether you're a Christian or whatever it might be, it allows you to get it right out there in front so people know that this is sort of number one in my wish list.
Exactly. It's a non-negotiable or a potential relational deal breaker, and it allows you to be really upfront about it and use it as the main criterion for selecting who you go out on a date with, significantly reducing the amount of time and effort that you put into online dating. This could be costly in terms of time and energy, but also costly in terms of money if you go out on numerous dates trying to find somebody who's a good match for you.
So if you're into saving money, niche websites might be where you want to go. How quickly have these been proliferating, and what kind of range of interests are you seeing, or is it like people, sort of limitless?
It's certainly limitless. The internet does allow for a limitless array of such sites, for sure. And we've seen quite a growth in this area and some wide proliferation with some obvious, perhaps, dating sites that pertain to people's religious orientation or sexual orientation or things that we might predict and expect that would be important for people. We've had J-Date for a while. We've had Christian Singles for a while. And then we're seeing more and more niched such sites, including gluten-free dating and fans of Ayn Rand that you have mentioned. So certainly it's a limitless possibility out there.
Well, we've got some listeners who'd like to weigh in. And if you'd like to join in, too, our number is 800-642-1234. Let's go to Aaron. Aaron joins us from Green Bay. Hi.
Hello.
Hi. You've got a story to tell us about Match.com.
Yes, I do. I decided to get on Match.com several years ago, trying to figure out if there really are more fish in the sea. I had gotten off of a bad relationship, and I found my now husband on Match.com on the very first day. I signed up and made a profile, and we ended up conversing through email a lot, and then phone, and eventually met up, and the rest is history. And I'm just calling to encourage other people who are interested in finding a partner to not be afraid to get on online dating. It might be a little scary at first, but you soon realize that the people on there are just like you, just trying to find somebody, and I highly recommend it.
Aaron, and before we let you go, Match.com is one of the self-matching sites we talked about where you get to write your own profile. I mean, everything you wrote there was true?
Oh, yes, absolutely. 100% true. Yes, and then they also let you select different traits that you're interested in finding as a match.
All right. Well, thanks, and good luck, and congratulations. Let's go to Sean. Sean joins us now from Presque Isle. Hi, Sean.
Yes, hello, and good afternoon, everybody.
Go on. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just called to say that I've tried numerous sites, including the big names that you mentioned, some of the niche sites, everything from Green Singles to sites that were more dedicated to alternative lifestyles. And I guess the difficulty that I've run into now is I'm currently 41. I've already been divorced once. My children are already teenagers. So my direct and upfront intent has just been brutal honesty in my profiles. And the difficulty is I've found that people in my age bracket, if marriage is not your outright goal, if having more children is not your outright goal for my age sex, it just has not borne any fruit.
Well, Sean, thanks so much for the call. And Catalina, we had two stories there, one very successful on Match.com, and then we heard from Sean, who's tried any number of sites. They haven't worked for him. And as I was listening to those two stories, it sort of sounded like regular dating used to be without the technology. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
That's a great insight. Actually, And as our first caller said, it's still just people at the end of the day who are trying to find somebody. So in numerous ways, online dating is very similar to face-to-face traditional offline dating, although the technology does change a few things. One of the things it does change is how easy it is to lie about yourself. It's literally the click of a button, posting a different photograph or an older photograph of yourself. It is technologically easy to lie if you want to, but many people choose not to, even though they can, because they know that relational success in the long run is contingent on an honest self-presentation. And in fact, research shows, consistent with Aaron's story that we listened to, that the more online daters are interested in establishing serious, long-term, committed relationships, the more honest they are in their profiles.
And it was interesting in Aaron's call, you know, we talked about that sort of the reputation of online dating, and she was urging people who might be reluctant. So even now in 2013, it sounds as though in some cases there is still that reluctance to go online and put yourself out there.
There is a reluctance, and it's an understandable one. For once, you make yourself and very private information about yourself available to a large group of strangers. And lots of people could feel vulnerable about that and perhaps uncomfortable with that. So maybe it's not so much a stigma for desperate people anymore, but there's still potentially a level of discomfort. A fear of being judged or encountering strangers who might not be nice people. So for those reasons, some people still legitimately may postpone online dating or may think twice about it. But we have also seen that it is a helpful resource in the dating arena with lots of successful marriages and relationships so far.
We're talking to Catalina Toma. She is an assistant professor in communication arts at UW-Madison and an expert in online dating.
And we want to hear from you on this topic. Have you ever done online dating, or have you considered it, but there was something that kept you from trying it out? Tell us what that is. And have you or would you participate in one of these niche sites we're talking about for a particular religion, say, or an occupation like farming or a political philosophy? Call in at 800-642-1234. That is 800-642-1234. You can also email your story to talk@WPR.org.
Give us a call or drop us a note, and we'll continue this discussion after a check of the headlines. This is Central Time. And I'm Gene Purcell. We're continuing our discussion about online dating with Catalina Toma now. She's an assistant professor in communication arts at UW-Madison and an expert in online dating.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234 or email talk@WPR.org with your experiences or maybe what keeps you from participating in online dating. 800-642-1234.
And a lot of listeners would like to join in, so let's go straight to the phones. And we begin with Kathy, who joins us from Milwaukee. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I just had a question for the experts here. I had a really good experience with online dating, although I met my significant other actually at work. If there's a disparity between men's experience and women's, because I have a lot of guy friends who are just very negative towards it, and then I have a lot of lady friends who met their significant others there, and I don't know if there's a difference in the number of participants that affects that happiness or what it is.
Well, let's find out. That's a great question. Thanks for the call, Kathy. And Catalina Toma, what about that? Is there a difference in the way that men and women use the sites or the perceptions they might have of the sites?
It is a really great question and interesting point. I'm not familiar with research that looks at the satisfaction level of men and women, but I am familiar with research that shows that men and women may have different practices. And one practice that could affect satisfaction is that, much like in traditional dating, men are still expected to take the lead in initiating relationships in online dating. So it is very much so that men contact women much more so than the other way around. So if you're a woman, you're likely to receive a lot of requests and emails. And if you're a man, you're likely to have to initiate more. And one can easily imagine how if you initiate lots of requests and send emails and fail to get responses, as is often the case, it could be disappointing and a dissatisfying experience. Kathy, can you tell us a little bit more about why your friends find online dating problematic?
No, I'm afraid we've lost Kathy.
Lost her.
But you know, one of the questions I'd like to ask, because it strikes me that this is 2013, And you say that one of the reasons men might not be so enthusiastic about this is because they're expected to make the first move. Has online dating changed any of those expectations? I mean, do you see a change over time that it's okay for a woman to make the first contact?
Well, I certainly think that it's okay for a woman to make the first contact. We don't know if online dating has had any effect on society at large just yet. So far, we're seeing the same patterns with online dating that we're seeing with offline dating, in that men do tend to initiate a great deal more than women.
So it sounds like people are people, kind of despite the technology.
Exactly.
Vince joins us now from Delavan. Hi, Vince.
Hi. I had a question about the overall satisfaction of kind of the population online and offline. I know you had said that online users have a little more satisfaction in their relationship, but I was wondering if kind of that phenomenon of if you're presented with more options, you feel like the one that you chose might not have been the perfect option. And I wonder if with the growing circle of people that you can interact with, it's not just at your school or at your workplace or within your friend's friends. Now with this, towns up to 100 miles away and thousands of people, if in general, because we know we can interact with more, are we as satisfied with the person we choose?
Vince, that's a great question. Thanks for that. Catalina Toma, what about that? That feeling that there are so many more choices out there that even though I got a great one, there might be a better one, you know, another click away.
That is a very insightful point, Vince. Actually, there's literature that's documenting what we like to call the kid in the candy store phenomenon, the idea that you have so many potential mates and so many people that you choose to choose from that you may feel reluctant to commit to any one of them and feel compelled to continue playing the field, if you will, because there might be somebody better or more desirable out there. So this phenomenon has been documented. There's no research studies to date that directly address how the number of choices you have affects satisfaction, but we would predict that, indeed, the more choices you have, the less satisfied you might be with the one that you do settle on, because the grass could always be greener, right, on the other side.
And with the online world, you can see a lot more of that grass. I mean, there are just so many things to look at.
Exactly.
We have an email from Laura in Milwaukee, and she tells us that she met her soon-to-be husband this past May online, and so she's good with that and never would have met if they hadn't met online. However, she says, I'm still highly skeptical, even though I had a good experience, because of safety issues for women. Is that something that women need to be concerned about? Is that a reality that when you're online, it is a different world and that you do need to be extra safe? Or is it just like meeting somebody in a bar, meeting somebody on the street?
I think people always need to be careful about who they're meeting with and sharing private moment with, perhaps, regardless of whether the meeting originates online and offline. But it is true that the online world does open up the prospect to a broader range of people that you could potentially meet. So safety is a concern. The majority of dating sites do a pretty good job at advising their users on how to handle initial relationships. We always have to remember that the internet is not just a tool for us to meet a variety of other of potential partners and strangers and potentially problematic people, but it's also a useful tool for finding out information about people. So Googling people and trying to get information about them and to verify the accuracy of what it is that they're telling us is a really important thing that I think women and men alike should be doing.
But, you know, when you say things like that, a lot of people might come back and say, you know, you're taking all the romance and all the fun out of everything. If I'm going to Google somebody, I'm going to look up their record online. You know, where is the fun in that?
Well, there could be fun in conversation and private disclosures and getting to know the person on a more intimate and less institutionalized level, I suppose. And I'm not saying you should be trying to find out everything about a person's life, nor that that's possible on the internet, but certain pieces of information that may be relevant to your personal safety could be a good idea to gauge.
We've got a call from Kirsten, and Kirsten joins us from Oshkosh. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm actually speaking as a gay person from Oshkosh here, and I am calling it to show my support for online dating, although I've never done it, and I'm currently partnered after 9 years, I've often wondered if I, you know, weren't to be with my partner, what would my options be? And I always felt that I had to go to a bar in order to meet somebody that's of my minority. And so I'm very supportive of this because I think it gives people another opportunity.
Thank you so much for sharing this, Kirsten. And I completely agree with you. And research supports this idea that online dating is a great option for people whose social circles are perhaps not sufficiently large to contain a great majority of single and available people for a variety of reasons. We call this the access hypothesis. So online dating does provide increased access to people who could need it and might benefit from it. So thank you so much for sharing your opinion.
As you look at the world of online dating, of niche dating right now, where do you see it going? Do you see it getting more and more compartmentalized, or do you see us reaching some sort of point where you can only get so narrow and then you start running out of options and you're cutting things a little too finely?
Oh, that's a great question. The crystal ball question.
We love that one.
I'm going to try to make some useful predictions. Well, the success of online dating is contingent on connecting people with potential partners. So you do have to have a number of partners to choose from. Being overly niched might be a detriment for that. If you just have, you know, 100 people to choose from in all age ranges and all sorts of interests, online dating might not work very well for you. So I think it's a balancing act between connecting people with reasonable potential partners, but not overwhelming them.
So as long as it works, it might happen. And if it doesn't work, it'll probably fade away.
Yes.
Catalina, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
We've been talking with Catalina Toma. She is an assistant professor in communication arts in UW-Madison and an expert in online dating.
Up next, it's the news. Then we're talking about the possible end of the death penalty in the United States, but maybe not for the reasons you might expect. I'm Rob Verrett.
And I'm Gene Purcell. That's all coming up next on Central Time. And you're listening to it here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.